Our work on Appendix D is part of our larger effort to improve the quality and utility and reliability of federal financial information. If you look specifically at what we rolled out in Appendix D and compare it to what we had in Circular A-127, I think you'll see some sharp differences. A-127 was very prescriptive on what agencies could buy, how they bought it, and it actually conflicted with other guidance within OMB on shared services. This new guidance replaces a check-the-box compliance approach where there are over 500 specific technical requirements with more of an outcome-based approach focusing on financial management, business, and information needs.
So there was 500 different requirements. I understand from looking back at some articles I did, I think about from the May timeframe when I think it was Adam Goldberg who spoke from the Treasury Department and OFIT, he talked about that we get down to around 60. What number did you guys end up with the number of requirements in the new Appendix D?
About 70 requirements to be exact. And the nature of the requirements is shifting. We're moving away from the highly specific, narrow technical requirements that really aren't appropriate for government-wide guidance. And we're focusing more broadly on financial management objectives and outcomes in terms of having timely, accurate, reliable financial information and being able to minimize waste, fraud, and abuse or misappropriation of federal funds.
Give me a sense of some of those new outcome-based requirements. I know you said timely, reliable information, but go to the next level down of what something that used to be under A-27, we said this, and now we're under the new Appendix D, we're saying that. So give me a comparison.
We're moving away from unnecessary financial management system requirements that drive complexity and costs. And if you look at what we had in A-127, it was very prescriptive on what agencies could buy and how they bought it. And let me give you some examples. And there were a lot of different requirements, and maybe they weren't egregious, but they really weren't appropriate for government-wide guidance. And too many of these requirements that were reflected through the A-127 process focused on usability issues and not on outcomes that we wanted to achieve. So, for example, there was a whole focus on requiring a GUI interface. And there was focus on error message customization, where the requirements defined precisely what error messages should say. And in terms of government-wide policy and guidance, I really don't think that we want to be getting into that level of detail and that level of prescription, but instead we want to focus on the broader outcomes, whether it's timely, accurate, reliable financial information, whether it's preventing against waste, fraud, and abuse. Those are the things that we should keep our eye focused on.
Does the Appendix D, for instance, say the outcome is timely information? Now, how agencies get to that timely information is up to them, but at the end, they need to be able to close their books, for instance, in 45 days. That's the type of output you're looking at?
Correct. And while we focus on the larger goal of, like, for example, timely, accurate financial information, we're also focusing on some compliance indicators in terms of helping agencies gauge how well they're doing on that front. So, for example, you look at the audit opinion. You'll look at the number and the nature of the material weaknesses that you're seeing. Those give you a better sense of how well you're meeting the spirit and intent of the Federal Financial Management Improvement Act.
Talk a little bit more broadly about the A-123 revamp. How does this play into the broader work you guys are doing?
The work that we're doing on Appendix D is part of our larger effort within OMB to rationalize and harmonize our guidance in various aspects of federal financial management. So we recognize that over time, the OMB requirements on agencies have built up, and it's important to step back and to take stock of what we're currently asking agencies to do and to make sure that these requirements are still reasonable and rational in today's environment. So it's very similar, for example, to the work that we're doing on grant circulars, where you have 8 different grant circulars that have accumulated requirements over time. And over the past few years, we've been looking to take stock of what those requirements are and, again, to harmonize them and to rationalize them and to make sure that they're still relevant in today's environment.
Is there a timing around the A-123 revamp in terms of when you hope to get at least maybe a draft out or a final one out?
The timeline is still not quite set yet because we're now working with agencies to take a look at, for example, the improper payments requirements, and we think it's more important to have meaningful dialogue and collaboration with the agencies in terms of what's working and what's not working and let the substance of our reform flow from those discussions. So we want to be able to do this soon, but we want to balance that with having enough dialogue with the agencies to make sure we get it right.
Let me shift back over to Appendix D for a second. there's a big push by this administration around shared services. Obviously, there's been several memos, an IT shared services strategy, even some thought in industry about maybe even a federal shared services strategy that goes beyond IT. But let's talk about Appendix D and how that specifically addresses the shared services concept.
Appendix D removes unnecessary financial management system requirements that drive complexity and cost. And it focuses on requirements that emphasize the government's business and information needs. And it comes back to that whole principle of focusing less on the how and focusing more on the what and focusing on the objectives and the outcomes that we're trying to achieve within financial management. And if you look at the shared service model that we've embraced within the financial management community, it very much is focused on what needs to be achieved as opposed to how we do business. And it's interesting to see the conversations that are taking place now between the federal shared service providers and some of the larger agencies that are interested in modernizing their systems. And initially, the conversation starts off on the how agencies are currently doing business, and it starts off with heavy emphasis on their legacy business processes and requirements. And over time, you see that we're able to move from that discussion of how, move from that very prescriptive discussion of, you know, current business requirements, and by focusing more on what needs to be achieved, we're able to see more examples of success within the shared service environment.
Is there an example that maybe you could give me a little more detail? For instance, have you been a part of an agency discussion without mentioning the specific agency where they said, well, we need the system to do this, and then as the discussion moved, now it's really talking about just get us our information every month or every, you know, within 45 days of the input or, you know, something to that effect?
Well, let me share one agency experience. I won't name the agency and I won't name the provider, but when they were initially having conversations to talk about the potential fit, they identified, I think, over 700 different gaps between how that agency was doing business relative to how the shared service provider was doing business. And when they shifted the conversation to focus less on how they do business and to focus more on what needs to be achieved, that set of gaps dropped dramatically.